Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
Okay, you're listening to 91.3 Lagos Talks. It is time for critical thinking, and Zeal is with me live in the studio. Zeal, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good evening, Lagos.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's indeed been a while.
Yes.
But how is work? How is Nigeria from your end?
Well, from my end, it's the things that should be happening are happening. So from my end,
so you're not surprised
about which part?
About anything at all?
No.
Nothing. Nothing is surprising to you.
Not very much surprises me these days. From my end, I know what you're asking. From my end, the things that are happening are the things we expected to happen. So we're happy about that.
Speaking of things happening, some things are ending.
Yes.
Some things are ending. Yes. Some, like, I don't know, like, is it, would I call it the status quo on a lot of things will be changing going forward. So the way a lot of people have viewed things will change, essentially ending an era of one thing or the other. Which brings us to our conversation this evening, and it's in the form of a question. Why do things end or have to come to an end?
As they say, everything that has a beginning has an end. Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why does it have an end? Why can't it continue indefinitely? And like, then, is this concept of something motion, perpetual motion? I don't know if you've watched bits on that. Perpetual motion. So scientists try to couple some things together, you know, with
no
weight of physics and everything. So, yeah, so you can go continuously like that, perhaps indefinitely. Is it true? Have they been successful at that?
I don't know if they've been successful, but I've seen some videos of attempts of that, and it would be very interesting. But yes, but for now.
For now, everything comes to an end.
Yes.
That is sad.
Why is it sad, Kolawole?
It depends on the thing that is coming to an end.
Why is it sad?
Because, I don't know. Should I be happy that things are coming to an end? If it's bothering me, then definitely I'll be happy about it. But if it doesn't bother me or it benefits me, I wouldn't want it to come to an end. Right? So I think it depends on the thing per se.
Look at it this way. Most of us have no objection to growth, things growing. Right? Most people have no objection to growth, what you call growth. But growth invariably means things must change. And the fact that things must change, it means that something that existed before ended. And that ending of a thing is what you're calling sad. It's painful. So whether we like it or not, we want growth. Growth involves change. Change means things will end, and ending things is painful. So what we call growth must be accompanied by some
things
level of pain.
Okay.
Whether we like it or not. So it's about understanding that there is absolutely no point spending energy trying to avoid the inevitable. If things must end, and you know they must end, why are you spending energy and resource trying to avoid what you cannot avoid? What you do is you understand it, and then you embrace it. You don't have to like it. But you understand it, you embrace it. I mean, for example, using the most simple things, if you looked back at the beginning of your existence, well, unfortunately, you can't.
You can't remember.
You have no memory. But we understand it. The beginning of your existence, you were a single, what?
cell?
Sperm. At some point in time in your existence.
Okay.
You started off that way. And that life form ended. And then as it ended, the life form of a fetus or an egg started. And the life form of the egg ended. And then the life form of a fetus started. And the life form of a fetus ended. And then the life form of a baby started. And the life form of a baby ended. And then it became a toddler. And then it became an adolescent. And then it became every previous life form you've had. Call it a period, call it an age, call it whatever you want.
Mm.
Because it entailed growth and involved change.
Mm.
Something had to end.
But I see that as
now. Let me ask you a question now. Would you rather go back to become a sperm?
Of course not.
Exactly. So
I enjoy being a human being.
Yeah. And if you go on that way, look at it. You went to nursery school. Well, hopefully.
I went to nursery school.
And nursery school ended. You went to primary school.
Yeah.
And when you change class or change school and change friends, it was painful. A lot of people cried when they leave one class to another.
Yeah, bringing up memories.
It's painful. When you left primary school and you were going to lose virtually all your friends into secondary school, it was painful. And then when you left secondary... So every time, every form of existence at each point in time, in your timeline of this life, comes to an end. And that end, as long as it involves growth, it will involve change. And evolving change means something in the form you've known it must end, and that ending is usually painful. So it is. It's and that's one of the things we've done. We did The Nature of Pain maybe 2 years ago, and pain is not good. Pain is not bad. Pain is actually your friend, from what I believe. So that it's painful is not necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's a sign of growth.
But you give an example of the sperm, the lifespan of the sperm. Did it technically end, or you just morphed into the next level?
It's not the sperm anymore. The life form of the sperm ended.
I
will not say the sperm
led
died.
So it led to the next level.
Yes. And the next level ended.
So in cases where, for example, life, there's a point where that sperm will be a human being and die.
That life form will end.
So that life form ends.
Yes.
And you could argue that, I'll probably contribute to the earth or something. Become, I don't know, whatever, for worms.
What I would say is...
And all of that. But I don't want that.
Doesn't matter what you want. That's the point. There's no point resisting the inevitable.
But I don't need to console myself in the fact that it's a new form that I'm going to be moving into. And hence, there's no cause for alarm. There's cause for alarm because, I'm a human being. And if I had my way, I would want to live indefinitely. Maybe not me. Maybe not... A lot of people want that, but you want to live for a long time and know that when it's done, you have control over the next level.
Yeah, that's the issue. People want control. And here's the thing. Control is what you want control over what is inevitable, which implies you can't control it. So, for example, if you look at life as a straight line, right? You are born at point A on this straight line and you terminate at point B. Point B is inevitable. It must happen. Now, somebody would like to control when it happens, how it happens, that well and good, but you reasonably can't, right? So just live in the awareness that it will happen. You cannot avoid it. And then concentrate on the distance between A and B, which is what we call life. Right? And then you live your life in the present. What you have now, you live it, you appreciate it, you enjoy it, knowing full well that point B is not in your control. Point B could be in 10 minutes for somebody, it could be in 10 days for somebody else, it could be in 10 years for a different person. We really and truly can't control
it. But would we be better off if we had an idea when things would end?
I don't know. Because we'll never know.
Because I'm looking at a situation where I can tell where everybody knows when they would die or something. And perhaps it could inform the way they live their lives.
I don't think it will make a difference, Kola Ole.
So yes, we've come to peace with the fact that all things come to an end, right?
It will make a difference. Okay. You know why?
Why do you think so?
Because each and every person who's alive is very well aware, at least an adult, that they will die. We are 100, that's the one on the day you're born, the only thing you are 100% sure of is that you die.
Mm.
Now, since we have that as a certainty, how has it informed the way we live our lives? It hasn't. Now, people will argue that because we don't know when. Now, I'll give you an example.
Mm.
If you knew today, okay, let me not say you, anybody listening, if you knew, for whatever reason, a doctor tells you or whatever, that you have just 7 more days to live, and assuming there was nothing you could do about it, how would you spend your last 7 days? And let's say you have X amount in your savings, you have, or let's say 30 days. Yeah, you have 30 days to live. And you know, okay, they're telling 30 days, your heart will give up and that's it, or whatever. Yeah, 30 days and that's it for you. How will you spend the next 30 days?
Certainly not the way I'll spend the next 30 days if I wasn't aware of that.
And therein lies the inherent human error.
What's the error in that?
The arrogant assumption that you have more than 30 days.
So ignorance is bliss, like they say.
Like they say, but guess what? Think of it this way. If you knew you had only 30 days, would you and if you didn't know, those two timelines, right? If you knew you had the next 30 days, what you spend the next 30 days doing, would it be what you enjoy? Assuming you know in 30 days, they are switching me off.
I think it will be with a lot more deliberate closure.
Yeah. So
you'd be living a life of closure.
Describe the next 30 days if you knew 30 days was it.
I mean, putting my affairs in order.
Good. One. What else?
You know,
the amount of money you have in your savings.
If I had, of course, all of my assets and everything, and that contains putting my things in order, knowing who inherits my next of kin, going to the bank to ensure that this person has access to this, and just enjoying life, you know, trying to experience as much as possible. So I want to, if I could travel, I would travel. If I could visit places, I would visit. And do the things that I think I should at least do within that space of time before I go.
What in your own, and in doing all that, what would be your emotional state?
I think it would be, you have a lot of emotional, feelings at that point in time. But fundamentally, you'd have...
Assuming you do all the things you want to do, what would you call it? There's a word for it.
So you'd be satisfied?
Yes. Fulfilled.
Fulfilled, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So look at it. Now, assuming you don't know anything about your 30 days and you're just here, I'm here till I'm 99
because
years old.
You just feel like it could happen at any time.
What will you do? Will you do any of these things in the next 30 days?
Not at all.
Good. So would you feel fulfilled in the next 30 days?
Not as much as if I knew.
Yeah. So here's the question. Why are you depriving yourself of fulfillment?
Because you're taking a chance on the big possibility that you live beyond 30 days.
Think about it like this.
Yeah.
If you knew you had a certain amount of time left, you put your affairs in order. Why haven't you done it already?
Because I think I'm going to live beyond 30 days.
And that I call the inherent human error. So guess what? By...
Yeah.
Our own admission, we're depriving ourselves of fulfillment. But so what I tell people, and I've said this God knows countless times, as long as you live in the present now, and you understand that the only time you really have is now, and you behave as though all the time you have is now, your level of fulfillment will increase because you will be doing everything with a certain sense of deliberacy, a certain sense of urgency. Now, back to that line. Remember I said line, you're born at point A, you terminate at point B, and you draw a line. What do you call the space in between A and B?
I think life.
Life, yes. Good. That is correct.
Okay.
How do you measure the space between A and B?
Time?
Yes. So in mathematics, it will be saying line AB equals to life. Mm. And we would also say line AB equals to time. Mm. Which implies that life equals to time.
Okay.
Which means that if you know you have a limited amount of time, you would concentrate a lot of activity into life and be deliberate and be more fulfilled. When you don't know what that time is, you know what you tend to do? You tend to waste it. Mm. Right? And when you waste time, you are inadvertently wasting life.
But you know that that's, I mean, in every facet of life, for example, you are into business, or you're into investment, you're an investment banker, or you're into stock trading. You know that a company is going to embark on something, maybe in the next quarter. Mm-hmm. There's a way you approach the assets when you're trying to procure them. Or there's an approach you'd have to or investment activities when you are sure, when you are definitely sure of some actions happening, as far as maybe some companies that you are, you know, looking at or observing are concerned, compared to when you're just trying to read the charts and read the market and just, you know, guess what's going to happen next. So, I don't know, perhaps it's just a human tendency to just want to, when you're sure about the outcome of something or the time you have left, there's a way you approach things generally. Yes.
And the point I'm making is, why not just approach it as if you're sure of it? Because you are 100% sure it will happen.
So what about from an economic perspective? I'm managing my resources because I'm not sure of the future. So, you know, they say, save for the rainy day, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that concept came from, but it came perhaps from the idea that you never can tell when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I use it now and I run out of resources before the next 30 days, what happens? So that's the way I see it.
Look at it this way. Or look at it the way I look at it. You have a limited amount of resources and you can spend all of your resources in 30 days if you knew you had only 30 days to live. Question is, what are you spending those resources on? Are you being extravagant? Are you being wasteful? Are you just trying to finish them because there's nothing else to do after 30 days? Or are you using them? Have you been depriving yourself of living because you assumed you would live forever? Because if you think about it, that look, for example, you decide that you are living in a place that is substandard. It's not that you can't afford better, but you're trying to save, which is not a bad thing, right? But are you depriving yourself of life?
Well, it's like you're an investment, right, in time. Although nothing is certain, anything can happen. There's a risk involved in doing that. You might not be alive to enjoy whatever it is you're planning for. But
let me tell
you plan nonetheless.
Let me tell you a funny story. This was about a couple of years ago. When I tell this story to my friends, they always laugh. They don't believe me. There was a time when I lost my job about 10 years ago. I ran out of resources. I was broke. Now, the thing is, nobody believed I was broke because I had a car. I had the clothes I had. So when they see you, you know, as they say, let me not look like what I'm going through. You're not going to throw away your suits and your car because you're broke. But in terms of cash, I had no cash. I remember on one occasion, I was driving. It's going to sound very awkward. All the money I had on me was 300 naira.
And I don't know why. I thought it was going to be like maybe 300K or something.
No, all the money I had. All the money I had was 300 naira. I was on Ligali Ayori in there. I had left a meeting at Saipem.
Okay.
I remember it very clearly.
Like everything you had?
All the money I had was 300 naira. And then I got to a point, my tire was down. I needed to pump it. I think then pumping tire was 15. I'm talking maybe 8 years ago or something. So I was going through looking for change, you know. Mm. And then a lady walked up to me and started telling a story. You know all those stories where I was like, please, I don't have energy. I know I'm looking for my own 59. I didn't even look at her face.
Yeah.
And she told all this to her. And then I turned and I was going to snap at her, but I turned and looked and I thought, her face is familiar. You know, and then she said, oh, yes. So I asked her, I said, do we have women? Say, yeah, we met her. She explained where we met her. Like, oh, so I kind of knew her. She explained how she was stranded and all that. And I listened to her. That was when I listened to her story. She needed 300 naira to get home or something. I can't remember what she needed for. You know.
Okay.
And I was going to tell her, sorry, I don't have. But I remember asking myself, what problem between Ligali and where, because I was on my way home in Lekki, what problem can you possibly encounter between here and home that 300 naira will solve?
So you were as good as broke.
No, so I get to myself,
you were done.
Spent. Even if my car breaks down, 300 naira
would not
take it home. So I looked at the money. I said, even though it's money in my hand, between here and home, there is absolutely no problem I can encounter that this.
You were thinking about, did you have food at home?
300 naira would not have bought me food.
You'll have bought a drink now.
And so you know what I did?
I'll survive like an hour more. You know?
So I gave it to her.
Yeah.
I just gave it to her because, I mean, it wasn't even what I call sacrificial. You know, there's something you just look and say, imagine yourself on an express road and all the cash you have on you is 1,000 naira. Somebody begs you for it. And you say, I might need it. Might need it for what? If you run out of petrol, 1,000 naira petrol will not take you anywhere.
Yeah. You
know, so when you think about it and say, look, if I run into trouble in this state, somebody has to bail me out.
Yeah,
I have to call somebody.
What
to
I have on
me
is not going to be enough to bail me out.
But this is the solution to somebody else's problem.
Mm.
So if any problem I have, I'll call this person, I'll call that person. Maybe they will come and meet me. Maybe those. I cannot tell them, oh, guy, I need 4K, but I have only 300.
Well, some people do it anyway.
You know, I mean, nobody's going to say, okay, Zil asked me for 5K, but since he has 300, now nah, take 4,000.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You know, anyone that will give you 5K will give you 5K. And I gave it to her. Why I'm telling the story is that, you see, sometimes we keep things sentimentally, not functionally. When you actually think that, look, this thing I'm keeping, like somebody says, I'm trying to save up to 1 million naira, but I'm at 10,000 naira. So I have 990,000 naira to go. And someone say, guy, please give me 2,000 naira. Like, I can't. I'm trying to, you know, it will.
Yeah,
if you get 1 million less 2,000, are you not still low? You know what I mean? So sometimes we hold on to things out of desperation or out of sentiment, and that desire to hold on to things is what causes the pain when you lose them, which is why when things end, it becomes painful. You need to see things as. It's easy when you're comfortable to say things like that. I agree. You know, somebody who does not know where his next meal is coming from, but you ask the person, this 50 naira that you have, is it going to buy you your next meal? And the person will say no, but it will contribute to it. I'm like, but if there's somebody that money will solve his entire problem, you're not necessarily worse off. You know what I mean? So sometimes if you can view life that way, and it helps you live in the present and say, look, you know what? The resources I need for this period, I mean, I don't have it.
But what do you think the role of having the fear of the unknown plays in all of this? So I'm scared that I don't want to expend resources, you know, in what perhaps a lot of people would term as lavishly, because I'm scared that if I do that, I will shorten my time. You know, you spoke about time the other time.
I think everybody has their own individual experience. I have some life lessons that I've just encountered, some rules I follow. One of those rules, for example, is if I can't afford to do something, I will not reduce what I want because to what I can afford. First, well, I'm not saying the first. A very important lesson I had was when I moved into my first house in 2000. I moved in with two wrought iron chairs and a mattress. And that was a two-bedroom flat in Igboefo. I had two wrought iron chairs and a mattress. Not a bed, a mattress. And that was it.
Mm.
I went to what was then Prudent Bank and took, well, I had a job. I worked in the bank, so it was a good job. I just ran out of all the money I had. So I went to Prudent Bank and I took a lease. They were doing home lease then. You could borrow money from them. You give them, I think it was 12 post-dated checks, right?
Okay.
And against your salary, and they lend you money to go and do home lease stuff. So I bought a stereo TV fridge. The lease I took was 120,000 naira then. I remember this figure. It was very interesting. Anyway, here's the interesting part. I bought a 21-inch TV. I'm not sure people know what a 21-inch TV is these days.
It's like a monitor. I don't even know if it's as big as this our monitor.
Oh, no, no. This monitor is, I think, a 40-inch. That monitor might be a 21 or a 32. I don't know. But 21-inch is literally this size.
Okay? Yeah.
It wasn't the TV I wanted. I wanted a slightly bigger TV. But it was the TV I could afford. And so I bought it. 4 or 5 months later, or maybe even less, can't remember exactly that timeline, but a short while later, I got some more money. But guess what? I now couldn't go and buy the TV I really wanted.
Because you already had a TV.
Because I already had a TV. And so it was now double jeopardy. I had to live with what I did not want, even though I could now afford what I
wanted.
I have
that mentality too. Like, if I want to buy an appliance and I know this is what I actually want, I don't buy it until I have the money. Because if I buy a lower, maybe a lower quality or whatever size, I begin to regret like you were regretting.
So that's one life lesson for me. I just say, you know, when I can get what I want, then I'll get it. Otherwise, I deprive myself till then. But that's something not many people have been trained into, the concept of delayed gratification. The newer generations don't really understand that. But when you go through life lessons and you look at life from that type of perspective, it helps you deal with your present states more efficiently. So in the state where I am waiting to get what I want, I'm not in lack. I'm not depriving myself. I'm just waiting to get what I want. It's a very different thing. If you then tell me you have just 30 days left, it's not going to change what I would do in that circumstance.
So you would
I'm
rather just step my desire down.
Okay. I'm not going to step my desire down just because I have some money to blow, which is not something I'm trained to do. If you give, and I regret, was it with you? I can't remember if it was with you or with someone else. We're having a discussion. And I said that I was asked a question once. If you're giving this amount of money or 10 times that amount of money, which will you pick? So either take X or take 10X in terms of huge amount of money.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take X. And everybody thought I was crazy. Why don't you take 10X? And I said, because I know exactly what I would do with X. I have no idea what I would do with the extra. And you see, in that extra is where all the troubles of life lie. You would then go and start getting things you did not plan to get, doing things you did not plan to do. There's a certain amount of money you give me in 2 weeks it's because I know exactly what I will do. And that is the state of mind that I encourage people to be in. So at any point in time, if I get it now, it's gone now. So if you tell me now, Zeal, you have 30 days to live, there's not much more I would do that's different. Not much. So if you told me yesterday that, Zeal, you have 1 week to live, I will still be here today. The only thing that would change would be the message today would have been different.
Well, so it means that something has changed.
No, it will be different.
Will it be different because you're aware
it will be different
that you've got 30 days left?
It will be different because it will be a morbid message about life and death. That
okay.
I don't want people to ask me questions about when they see me. So since I'm dying, take and I'll run away. I can throw the controversy I like because I'm never going to have to defend it.
Yeah.
That's why. Not because I'm afraid to say it, but on one-on-one I say those things. Would it be different in terms, would I between now and 1 week, if you tell me I have 1 week to live, would I eat anything different? Not necessarily. I would wake up tomorrow like I would wake up tomorrow. I would go to the gym. A lot of things. The only thing that may be different would be I will share passwords.
Okay.
I'll say password to this, password to that. And the question someone asks, okay, so why not do that now? And I'll say, my lawyer will have it now. The only difference is if I know I'm going to die, then I'll tell you.
But so why? So it's the same thing now. So, I mean, everyone should live their lives like that. There should be some sort of system in place that caters to things like that if peradventure
something
happens to someone.
So there's a difference between putting it in place and initiating it. If I now have a short time to live, I will initiate it because I may go in 10 minutes. I may drive out of here. Nobody knows. So I would not initiate. So those things are initiated upon my termination.
Now, upon the awareness that.
No, upon my termination. So you give instructions when I die.
Okay.
ABC so that triggers happen, that. That okay. triggers it. So we should all have that in place. The only difference, if I know I'm going to die in a short while, I might as well trigger it myself. But even if I don't trigger it, when I die, it will be triggered. So it's still the same thing. Am I going to travel anywhere? I'm not.
So you wouldn't care about quickly experiencing life to the fullest before you die. You won't think about that. You won't be curious. So your curiosity will not spike at any point. Okay, let me just even go and see how this place looks like. So that at least I would know.
I would only be interested in seeing are there people I need to say goodbye to.
Okay.
That would be my priority, to be honest.
So why do people even say goodbye when they want to die? Why?
Same reason you say goodbye when you want to leave the house. Same reason you say good morning when you wake up.
But there's some people I don't say good morning to in the morning if I don't see them.
If I'm leaving, I'll say bye, see you later.
I don't say bye-bye to everyone in the office when I'm leaving the office.
You say bye to some.
Perhaps my colleague that I saw last, and maybe people I see along the way to the gate. Someone is asking, how did you get home? Like, you know, you said you were going to
leave. I had a car. So, I mean, I had a car, petrol in my car. I drove home.
No, you said the tire was
No, that. So how I knew I had 300 hours, I was not looking for. As in, there was no money
in your pocket. So you checked your car.
You're checking the car. Okay, there's 100. Yeah.
Wow. So you were down bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that period, I was down pretty bad. I remember, I remember on one occasion, I went to see my pastor. And I guess he just figured this guy is not his usual self. And he wrote me a check. You know, and that check was the check I used to go and pay my kids' school fees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, thank God he gave me this money, you know. So, I mean, I think a lot of people, if not everybody, has been through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like my friend very often says, he says, don't let a good crisis go to waste. So that crisis allowed me learn a lot. I would call it, that period created a paradigm shift for me. It was a massive inflection point, and that's when my life view, my overall life view, life and everything changed.
So did you constantly live with that orientation that whatever it is happening right now would end at some point? And does it inform the way you go through that journey?
It does.
Whether it's positive, whether it's negative.
It does. Does it completely eliminate my humanity? Of course not. There are still some things that you still defer, shelve, and all that. But a lot of things. So it was in that period as well that I called a lot of people. I thought about people I had offended and all of that. Call them, apologize.
You know, can imagine you doing that.
It was not easier. And a lot of them were. Some forgave me, some did not. But hey. You called as many as you could, as many as you remembered it.
Across from Buddy Thomas, shout out to you. You were the one trying to know what Zeal did while he was trying to sort out his tire back in the day. So I was going to say something. Anyway, you're listening to Critical Thinking here on Lagos Talks 91.3. My name is Kola Wale. Zeal is here with us, and we're just trying to think critically about the concepts of
things ending.
Is it really a concept or is it like it's a phenomenon? Things end. So when something fantastic happens or starts to happen in your life, At what point do you begin to process the end of that thing?
At no point.
But you know somewhere that this is going to... This can continue forever.
Just, I tell people, something is happening, enjoy it. Immerse yourself in it while it is happening. Mm. And enjoy it. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like if you enjoy swimming, you jump in the pool, and they tell you, oh, the pool, you're going to swim for 1 hour. Don't start asking yourself, oh, in 1 hour when I finish swimming, what am I going to do? It deprives you of the joy of what you're actually doing. In that 1 hour, concentrate on what it is you're doing and enjoy it. Enjoy it as if there is nothing else happening in the world except you and that thing. Enjoy it while it's there. When it ends and something else starts, guess what? Have exactly the same attitude. Immerse yourself in it and enjoy it. Enjoy it, experience it, you know, take it in completely. And guess what, Kolawole? When it ends and the next thing that starts is something that you actually do not like, guess what? The same principle applies. Immerse yourself in it. Experience it. Learn from it.
So in both positive and negative situations, should you take solace in the ending? So if something negative starts to happen, by the mere fact that all things come to an end, do you take solace in that fact?
It will end.
Yes. And do you perhaps feel a bit off when fantastic things begin to happen?
It will end.
I mean, you know it will end, and then you're wondering, okay, so when this ends.
But when it ends, you create something else. So there's this poem by Rudyard Kipling. It's titled If. I'll read the second verse, the first half of it. It says, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with both triumph and disaster, and then this is the important part, and treat those two imposters just the same.
Is that possible?
Yes, that's what. Let me just read the whole verse for you, right?
Okay, because I'm enjoying the poem.
Yeah, it's an amazing poem. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up again with worn-out tools. It's a beautiful poem. It talks about the duality of life. You know, yeah. And it says, if you
paradox
can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two, that word he uses is very important, imposters, neither of them is real. The joys of triumph or the grief of disaster, they're imposters. They will come and they will go. And you need to learn that, look, everything must come to an end.
What you know, so life, the way I see it as well, is that, like you said, A to B, that's your life, looking at things from an individual point of view. But along the line, other things are also happening that are happening concurrently with life. You know, so you're living your life, and along the line, there are other lines that would start and end within that line. There'll be a time you be in school and you stop being in school. There'll be a time you live in an area and you stop living in that area, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, the concern that something is happening, or there's a line that extends beyond point B for me in terms of my life, how do you approach that? So you know that you started a project and point A begins for that project. Is something you started, but you know point B might be lurking around the corner at any point for you, for your own life. Point B is somewhere around. The concern that you want the point B of that project to outlive you, how do you see that
question? Are there things you've really wanted in the past, you things you've really desired, and as my Christian and Muslim friends would say, you prayed and fasted for and you didn't get it? And you were very sad. And a few days, weeks, months, years down the line, you look back and you say to yourself, damn, thank God I didn't get it.
Yeah, actually.
Yes. Most of us
I'm thinking about
Are there things you've wanted and you got and you look down and say, oh, I wish I didn't get it? Especially in relationships.
Okay.
But you get what I mean. Point is, a lot of us want things.
Yeah.
At this point, you want to, especially little children, you know, they throw a tantrum and then a few weeks, days, months, whatever later, you realize, ooh, thank God I didn't get it.
I didn't have it at that time.
That's how we should look at a lot of things. You know, when you have something now, you immerse yourself in that thing. You extract all the value, whether it's positive or negative. You extract all the value from it. Knowing full well, like the sperm that you once were, when that life form ends or extinguishes, a new one will start. And everything you gathered in the previous life form is what will be contributory to the next life form. So when you are in an experience, whether it be positive or negative, you extract everything you can from that life, from that experience, knowing full well that in the next experience, every value you've extracted will be contributory in making the next one more experiential for you.
So the way I still see it is, not everyone would live the same quality of life. I don't know if you agree with that.
No, that is true.
You know, so not everyone, for example, a footballer's career, there's some players that will get to play at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play perhaps in the top leagues, the Premier League, La Liga. And there's some other players, perhaps even equally good or even better, that will never get to play in the top leagues.
Yep.
They'll remain in some conference league or whatever, local tier. So if you tell these two types of players from maybe like from the onset of their career, they're leaving the youth team, one person gets an opportunity with a top club in the Premier League, the other continues to another country, maybe to one middle tier or low tier league, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling both of them that it's a phase, it leads to the next phase and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
One definitely will be a little uneasy about that, while the other person would smile with you. So one is smiling with you because things are actually, his expectations are being met in terms of his career, you know, career projection. The other one is thinking time is ticking. So my point B is approaching, and the mere fact that not everyone lives the same quality of life, not everyone passes through the same situation. There are some people who would live miserable lives from the beginning till the end. Some would have more misery than
you've
than
added quite
success.
A few adjectives that that will create bias because you've
but it's the truth
because
though,
guess what
right?
you've described two different people. You started off very well, but you see you've introduced a certain adjective, misery.
Okay.
Now nobody wants to be that miserable person, and so you've created
but
that.
But the truth
bias.
Is that some people will live miserable lives.
That's left to them, right? It's a fact you're saying. Now the question is, do you have to be that person?
So that's the angle of, okay, the ball is in your court. You can you can shape your life.
There are some people that will live miserable lives. Yes. Do you have to be that person?
I don't have to be that person.
Are there people that will live fulfilled lives?
Mm.
Are there people that will live luxurious lives? Are there people that will live lives that you want? So that people will live all sorts of lives, right? Which one do you want to choose?
So how do you tell someone that, okay, you don't need to live in the moment and enjoy the moment?
The only person you should be telling is you.
Okay. So how do you convince yourself that, let me not panic. Let me just leave. But I want something and it's not happening now. But your argument is that...
Are you on the pathway to it happening?
So, So your argument is that it will eventually
happen.
Are
you on the pathway to it happening? The answer is simple. It's yes or it's no.
So no answer?
Are you on the...
Could be on the pathway and then the end goal might be far off compared to...
That's distance. Are you on the pathway? Yes.
Okay,
no?
So if we are both on Third Mainland Bridge...
Mm-hmm. Are you on the pathway to the mainland? Speeds. Are you on the pathway?
Well, I'm on the pathway. You're on the pathway. But you're on a bicycle and I'm on the...
Am I... On the pathway.
In a car.
You are in a car, you're in a Rolls Royce with AC and champagne. I'm trekking. No problem. And me that I'm trekking, I'm trying to get to the mainland. Question, am I on the pathway to the mainland? It's yes or no.
Yes. But is that enough closure?
No. Then next question.
Okay.
On the pathway I am, am I sure I will get to my destination? If the answer is yes, you close that chapter, you move on. You can then open another chapter and say, okay, is there another way to get there? And say, okay, the way I want to get to the mainland is in a Rolls Royce. Then the question, the pathway is no longer, the question is no longer, are you on the pathway to the mainland? The question is, are you on the pathway to owning a Rolls Royce? If the answer is yes, same thing, you wait. If the answer is no, then you ask yourself, what do I need to change? Back to our topic, what is it that needs to end for me to shift my pathway?
So it's a conscious thing.
Very, extremely, totally, utterly conscious. So as I am now, am I on the pathway to achieving what I desire? If the answer is no, then I have to ask myself, what is it that is, one, preventing me? What are the things I need to do that I am not doing? What do I need to stop so that I can shift? What do I need to start? Something must end, something new. If you are not on the right pathway, the current pathway must end and a new one must start. It's not going to be painless. It's not going to be costless. Are you willing to bear the cost? If the answer is no, then you must be willing to accept you will not get what you want.
So you must be willing to effect that change.
Something must end. Change means something must stop and another thing must start.
Okay, so I think I'm getting some more clarity now, because I was feeling like you were pushing the idea that allow things just flow end. What? And
of course not. Can you think that me? No way. Something must end and it is your choice to see. For example, you're in a job. The job pays you X every year. Your desire is to have 100X. Okay? Can this thing pay you 100X that you want at any point in time?
In 100 years, it'll pay.
Yes, you won't be around in 100 years. I guarantee it. If the answer is yes, then you do everything you can in that job to make sure you get it. Right? If the answer is no, something must end. And what is it that must end? That job. Now, the thing is, do you end the job and go and sit down at home and say, well, it was not? No. You now start to sit down, deliberately planning, when this ends, what is the next thing that will start? What is it that will give me 100X? You're in a relationship. You want the relationship to go somewhere. You ask yourself, is this relationship going to take me where I want? If the answer is no, Kolawole, the relationship must
end.
End. Is it going to be painful? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. If you cannot go through the pain and the difficulty of that decision, then you must agree that you're on a bus taking you nowhere.
But there's some things as well. So these are negative examples. So you are not comfortable with the way things are progressing. And I mean, we're realizing that something has to end. But in a case where it is something enjoyable happening, and you spoke about the consciousness.
Treat those two just the same. So you're in a party. You're having a great time. What do? You immerse yourself in that enjoyment and you enjoy it. When the party ends, you leave with a smile. If you want to have another party, you've immersed that party so much. You've learned what it takes to have such a great party. Next time you throw another one. It's the same thing. You immerse yourself. If you're in a relationship that's taking you nowhere, you immerse yourself in it. Understand, how did I get here? Why did I choose this person? Why am I still here? Why can I not leave? You immerse yourself. Immersing yourself does not mean that you force yourself to stay. It's that you experience everything about it. The positives, the negatives. You imbibe it. You learn from it. So that when you're in another experience, the value from that previous experience, positive or negative, you've completely and totally extracted it. And you can now use it. That's what we call experience, isn't it? What has happened before, you use that knowledge to make another experience more valuable.
Okay. I think we can draw the curtains on today's show. Like, all things come to an end. But you can join the conversation just in case you have a question or two for Zeal. You can just chip it in quickly. 0809-234-5913. 0809-234-5913. And then 0201-515-0913. 0201-515-0913. Zil, what is the name of that poem? I wanna go through it.
Rudyard Kipling. It's a beautiful poem.
Okay, I think I was just I used to take literature courses many years ago. So yes, I love literary prowess. Hello?
So it was written about 100 years ago.
Are you serious? Hello?
40 or so, yeah.
Hello?
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is M.
Okay.
Your name is M. All right. Hi, M.
You don't want to tell your name?
My name is M.
Are you serious?
Kevin.
Okay, this person is kidding.
Okay, go ahead. M.
Okay, so someone is saying kudos to Zeal. There's a call coming through. Let me see if we have some time for that. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Zeal.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Kolawole.
How are you doing?
Great. Just a second. Let me run out from...
Quickly, 30 seconds. Road.
Yeah, cool. Nebuka, I talk, so...
Hey, Buka, what's up?
Mr. Zeal.
Hey, Buka, hi, good evening.
Well done, Baba. So, you've been talking about change, yes. Changing different things. So, talk about changing singlehood to marriedhood. How is it like? Then, is he expenses this period? Is there a way man can escape expenses?
Oh, my goodness. I knew Ebuka was going to touch on that.
I hate that.
Okay.
Ebuka. Whatever you are spending on, is it for your benefit? I mean,
you can't escape expenses.
You
right?
can't. You want to have money and not spend it. I mean, the whole idea of having money is to spend it. Now that's why we work, to have money
Absolutely.
So we can spend it.
Absolutely.
No, you can't escape.
Okay.
Expenditure.
Anyway, we need to go. Zeal, thank you so much. It's good to see you again after a long time.
Yes.
And I'm coming to your wardrobe, but we're not the same height, so I don't know how I'll steal your native.
You create a new style, you can stop at your shin, you'll be okay.
Yeah, that's a new style. Okay, Zeal, good to have you again. Hopefully we have you at another time, not too far off from now.
Yes. Let's see. There's a holiday next week, apparently.
Is there a holiday? Oh, that's true. Is it
end of Ramadan, I mean.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's Thursday.
You...
If it's Wednesday and Thursday, very high, yes, I'll be back.
Ah, fantastic. And, Keep driving. Don't stop for anybody.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.